Anyway, let's get to the Bible for a few minutes. We'll soon be finished. I was going down the road. You know, preachers, I'm sure young people, you wonder where do preachers get their sermons from or get their thoughts from. But I was going down the road the other morning, a week or so ago, and I was listening to the radio. I think it was 846, if you know what that is around here. And I could hear this music coming on. I was, "Let the Bible speak." And we're having the Reverend James Porter speaking to us this morning. And he's going to preach on the text, "Thou art old and well stricken in years." And I thought, no, that verse doesn't suit me. I'm not that old yet. But there's a verse in the Bible in Genesis 47 and verse 8. Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old art thou?" Now, this man, Jacob, you know, when you're a child, I have grandchildren, so you may guess I'm getting older. And you go to talk to the grandchildren, you say, "Well, dear, I'm two. And then you go to the other one, "Well, dear, I'm six." And then there's a period of life, like a Hannah's age there, you don't tell your age, you don't. Even though there's a wee bit of grey hair goes down the side here, you don't tell your age. But you know, you don't let on your age. There's a period of time in there you don't let on your age. I asked somebody the other day their age, saying, "Oh, that's all I got." But you get older, you get to my age, and what age are you, sir? "I'm coming 80. 80. Great. I'm 82. And they do it, and you know by the shape of their mouth there, 82. But you know, friends, what age are we? Here was Jacob. And he's asked what age he was, and he looks down the line, and he said, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years, and few and evil of the days of my years and my life have been." And he said, "It has been a pretty hard life. You can make life hard for yourself, or you can make it good for yourself." As I said, drugs, drink, Martin, hard life. But here's a young man, Jacob, in his young day, brought up in a good home, good godly mother and father. Isaac, Rebecca, they were a very good home. They were very godly people. They were very wealthy too. So he was well looked after. He wasn't hungry in the mornings. He had food, he had clothes. Now, his parents weren't perfect. Hands up, who's got the perfect parents? No. My daughter was, some of you know my daughter, but she was giving off one time years ago. And I said, "Now look, dear, when you're a parent, you will make the perfect parent. Because I'm sorry, I've made mistakes. And your parents have made mistakes too, but when you get older and you have a husband, if you ever get one, or a wife or a partner or whatever they call them nowadays, and a family, then you can be a perfect parent." But Jacob was brought up and he was well looked after and he had a problem with his brother. We all have problems with brothers and sisters, but him and the brother just didn't always get on so well. There was a bit of favoritism in the house. Daddy favored Esau, Mommy favored Jacob. Favoritism's very dangerous. Very bad in a house when there's favorites. We didn't have that problem in our house because we only had one girl, so she was everybody's favorite. And here is Jacob, and his name means he's a twister, twin brother with him. He wants to outwit his brother. He wants to get what they call the birthright or the double portion. You see, in those countries when the father and mother later on would divide out the inheritance to them, the older brother would get twice what the younger brother got. And so Jacob, he's covetous. He's greedy. One portion of a wealthy parent would have done him more than well, but he's greedy, he wants more, and he decides that he will get what he wants, even though he has to deceive, he has to lie. Will he get away with it? No, he didn't get away with it. His brother's very angry, so he has to leave home. It's really sad, you know, young people, when a mother and father comes to the point of saying, "Look, I'm sorry, we've had enough. You better leave home." You say, "That'll never happen to me." Well, you get greedy, covetous, lying, deceiving. That can happen to you. And Jacob said, "Right, I'm off." And his mother said to him, "Look, Jacob, go and get yourself a nice wife. Go up to Syria." Some of you doing maps at school and all. "Go up to Syria. Up to Uncle Laban's there and go up to Syria and get a nice wife for yourself. And then later on your brother will settle down. Your brother wants to kill you." And so he heads off and he's heading along the road. And he stops this night. I'm not exactly sure of the place, but it wasn't a hotel or anything. He would have stopped at the edge of the road, gone into the field, put up his little bed, and fell asleep. But that night was a night that God dealt with him. I believe Jacob was saved that night, because he said, the Lord is in this place, and the Lord is going to go with me. And he meets the Lord probably in the field. My father met the Lord in the stable beside the horse. I know another man, and he was home from a little meeting one night, and he was halfway up the lane, and he stopped, and he got down his knees at the side of the lane, and he trusted the Lord as a savior in the lane. I got saved at the side of my bed. Tell me, where did you get saved? If I were to ask you individually, could you answer me? I got saved at certain meeting, mission, home, bedside, wherever, church. Are you saved? Sure you're saved. You know you're saved. You see, we have so many people and they think they're saved. Yeah, they know. Let me tell you, when you're saved, truly born again, the Lord said, I'll be with you. You're born again, it's a spiritual birth. And the Lord said here, I will be with thee and keep thee. And you know what Jacob says the next morning? He gets up and he said, the Lord's in this place. And he said, Lord, if you're good to me, kind to me, give me food, clothing, I'll give you a tithe of all I have. Oh, I know what you're thinking. I don't tithe and I have no intention of tithing. Young people, you should be tithing. If you're saved, you should tithe your income for the Lord. There, that morning, Jacob makes vows, and he moves on to meet Uncle Laban. Now, if you go down the road of lying, deceiving, cheating, twisting, you'll meet someone down the road who's better at it than you. And that's what happened to Jacob. He goes to Uncle Laban, and he met Uncle Laban, and he says, hey, I like your daughter. If you would like me to marry her, I like her, you know. She's quite pleasant on the eyes. Yeah, that's one ingredient. I'd marry her. Oh, well now, what's she worth? You ever hear that farmer talking? What's she worth? Well, he says, I'll work 7 years for her. She must have been a good one now, wasn't she? I don't think any of you fellas would work 7 years for a woman. You might work 7 more years looking after her, mind you. He said, I'll work 7 years if you give me her. And then old Laban deceived him and he got the wrong woman. He says, look, you've deceived me. I married the wrong woman, he says. Well, Laban says, tell you what, take her sister, take the both of them and then work another 7 years. So he worked 14 years to get 2 wives. Poor fella. And then after the 14 years, he worked 6 years to bring up his animals and cattle and sheep and so forth. So he's away 20 years. But he's not content. You see, young people, listen to me. You can be saved and not content. God's salvation has more than just sins forgiven. There's service for the Lord. There is more than one blessing of being saved. There's other times when God blesses you. We'll maybe look at that tomorrow night. Salvation is a great blessing, but it's only the start of a new birth. If you're saved, it says ye, if you're not saved, it says ye must be born again. And then once we're born again, it's the start of a new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, here's old Jacob, and he's got his 2 wives, and he's the servants, he's the animals, he's the herds, he's the flocks, and he's heading back home. And he hears a problem. He runs into a crisis. You see, sometimes the Lord allows a crisis to come into your life to make changes. He hears that his brother Esau is coming down the road with 400 men. Now, what's Esau going out with 400 men for? Are they going fishing? No. They're going to sort Jacob out. That's what they're going to do. And what does he do? Now, Jacob's a very wise man. He sets a gift for Esau, sets another gift. He lines up the animals, the cattle, keeps his wife and children close to the end, and he puts them all to bed this night, and then he says, I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Young people, if you think you can go through the world that we live in without the Lord, you're far mistaken. Oh, but Reverend Baxter, I'm a saved person. Hold on. Are you satisfied? Satisfied with salvation? Are you in a position that you're walking with the Lord and talking with the Lord and knowing the blessing of the Lord? Tell me, is your life a victorious Christian life? Alan Redpath wrote a great book on that. Are you in victory? You know when you're in victory, you know when you're not in victory. Here's Jacob. And he needs the Lord. He puts everybody to bed and he makes sure they're all happy and he goes away across down into the field this time. Away from everybody and he begins to pray. Come on, young people, do you pray? Do you attend a prayer meeting? Do you enjoy praying? Poor Roman Catholics, they're given prayers for penance. And our Protestants, they don't even go to pray. Do you enjoy praying? Do you enjoy reading the Bible? And here's Jacob, and he's a man, and he's saved, and he's now got a lot of things to handle, and he's afraid this night. And he goes down, and he gets down on his knees there, and he begins to pray, and he wrestles with God all night in prayer. What way do you pray? Home of the night, jump into bed, dear Lord, thanks for a good day, amen. Ah, Lord, remember, thank you, amen. Give me a good day tomorrow. Off to sleep. Do we ever take time to pray and wrestle in prayer for the perishing around us, for the perishing in other countries, for our missionaries, for our ministers, for the work of our church? Jacob wrestled that night in prayer. And he says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. What does he pray for? He prayed for Esau. Please, Lord, don't let Esau take the head off me. He prayed for his enemies. He prayed for his wives and his families and his workers, and he prayed for himself. Come on, have you done that recently? Well, you see, this is what it is to move on forward with God. Have you been wrestling in prayer lately? Reverend Baxter, you don't understand. We're so busy. I know you're so busy. I know that. But we've got to take time. And you know, there as he wrestles in prayer, God touched Jacob that night. And he changed his name from being Twister to Israel, Prince of God. And old Jacob comes back the next morning into the camp, but okay, folks, everybody up. Time to move on. Get the cattle lined up there, you servants. And I see the children running out of the tents. They're all excited. They're moving. They're heading on down the road. This is great. We're moving away. We've never had fun like this before. Joseph stops and says, Daddy, what's wrong with you? Daddy, what's wrong with you? Oh, what's wrong, Joseph? Come on, get packed up. Come on. But, Daddy, you're limping. Did you hurt your leg? Where were you, Daddy? What's happened? Sonny, last night I was praying. And all's well. You see, young people, when you get into a position, not only have been saved, but into a position where you wrestle with God in prayer, God will make you walk different and talk different. And he'll deal with your enemies. Wonderful. And here old Jacob heads on back down the road. But we'll skip a few years and we come along because Jacob didn't have it all sunshine. Even though he was saved, even though he was a praying man, even though he had changed his name from being a twister, he did have problems. You see, this world we're going to have problems. But what is a problem? A problem is something that we can deal with. A problem should help us to get nearer God. Jacob gets a broken heart because his only daughter, Dinah, she falls in with this ungodly man. Reuben, he's the eldest. He does things that's very embarrassing even to talk about. Joseph was a good lad. Well, Dad loved Joseph. Joseph, he was in and out with Daddy, and Daddy made him a beautiful coat. It wasn't an old patched coat that some of the Joseph colors, coat of many colors is. It was, I believe, a beautiful colored damask coat. Very expensive thing. Why, he was a favorite boy. And they come one day and they say, "Hey, Dad, we found this coat lying and it's all blood. Look at it. It must be Joseph's." "Oh," he says, "my boy's dead." What happened? He's looking at the circumstances wrongly. You and I can do that. When we slip away from God a little, we see the circumstances wrong. He reads it wrong. He sends a famine comes and he sends the boys down to Egypt to get food, and they come back again and they say, "Look, Simeon's in prison." Oh. And Joseph says there, Jacob says, Joseph is not, in other words, he's dead. Simeon, he's not here either, he's in prison. And now he says, "You want to take Benjamin down to prison as well?" And he starts to cry. He says, "All these things are against me." But they weren't. Young people, listen to me. No matter how bad the circumstances seem to be, God can take those circumstances and change them. Remember one time talking to the Reverend Austin Allen, and he said to me, "Morris, you can see no way out." I said, "That's right." "Well, let me tell you," he says, "because you can see no way out, God has 1,000 ways of taking you out. We live in a day of tragedy, a day of suicide, a day of problems, a day of distress. Friend, let me tell you something. When you bring the Lord in, let the Lord have His way in your life every day. Let Him take control. Oh my, what a change. You see, around the corner, Jacob couldn't see were going to be his best days. And I can tell you, after I talked with the Reverend Allen that time, I didn't realize it, that around the corner, I was going to have great days. I'll tell you about some of them tomorrow night. I didn't think I'd have had the fun I had. You're sitting here tonight, maybe you're saved, and you're not getting on too well. Go home and wrestle with God in prayer for a time. Seek the Lord. Let the Lord come into your life. Do you know, as Jacob comes to the end of the journey, "How old art thou, Jacob?" "I'm an old done man." He's getting into bed for the last time. His family, what way are they now? And they all gather round the bed because God has dealt with his sons. God dealt with Dinah and Reuben and all those boys, all those rough men that would kill you. God has dealt with them, and they're all standing round the bed, and he prays for everyone, and he blesses his family at the end of the journey. What is life? Life is but as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then passes away. Yeah. Seems only like yesterday when I came in here with the Whitfield students to give a word of testimony. Seems like only yesterday when I got my first car. I was going to say I got my first kiss. But we'll skip that one. Let me tell you, young people, life will go past quickly. It's like that vapor. It's like that post. The post, the Bible speaks about the post. The postman appears. He brings up the letters and he disappears again. And how do we measure age? Let me tell you tonight, you're old enough to be sealed. And you're old enough for God to bless you and to use you. You young people, in school, in college, in work, wherever God has placed you, you should be a shining light for those around you. Don't be afraid to invite them to church. Don't be afraid to invite the ungodly to your meetings or to wherever you're going, your youth fellowship. And don't be afraid to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today there's so many and they measure their age by what they own. "Well, you know, Reverend, When I started off, I had nothing. And you know, I have 155.5 acres now. And I'm doing well. Naked came into the world and naked you'll depart thither. Oh, there's many people and they count their years in sport. Rory McIlroy, Carl Frampton. Yes, they're doing well. But let me tell you, there's more to life than a game of golf. There's more to life than a boxing match. We must be born again. You're old enough to be saved. You're old enough to serve the Lord. You're old enough to set aside your life for the Lord. You're old enough to progress with the Lord. You're old enough to learn to pray, to wrestle with God in prayer. And when you leave the Lord out of the picture, you're old enough to be in a real mess. You see, the Christian can fall. The Christian can make a mess. Because when you leave the Lord out of the picture. Tell me tonight, are you progressing with the Lord? Are you on our way to glory? We're going to take our family and friends home with us. Let me tell you, your age, it may be a number, maybe a wee number, maybe a bigger number like mine, or a big, big number like some of the rest. But you know something? When you're saved and when you're walking, you're only sure you're saved when you walk with the Lord. And when you're saved and you walk with the Lord, then you have what? Eternal life. Eternal life. Have you got it? How old art thou? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank thee for your presence with us tonight, for thy word to our hearts, and that thou wilt bless our young people. Lord, this weekend will be a time of sweetness, a time of refreshing, a time of a stirring in our hearts. O God, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will do the work that man can't do. Breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Take us through, Lord. Those that are not saved, take them through to an experience of salvation. And those that are saved, Lord, take them through to a new experience of dedication and service for the Lord. And oh God, that we could sing from the bottom of our heart, where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so. His divine will is sweet to me. Lord, make thy will sweet to our hearts this night. Bless the refreshments that are made for us. Take us home in safety tonight. Guide us tomorrow. Bring us back tomorrow night again on Sunday night. Give us good times around thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen.